As I was growing up, I loved my family. And I mean, like, I don't mean just my sister and my brother and my mom and dad. I mean my Trotter family. My grandma was amazing. And my Uncle Sanford was like my father. And my other uncles were just so good to me. We're just a blessed family because of God. Because my grandma and grandpa prayed for our families. And that's one of the things right now that the enemy's out to destroy is families. And it takes work to make it just because you got Jesus doesn't make you happy. Like, I mean, everything's perfect. And I'm not here to say anything in any which way, but the enemy's out to destroy your families. Because if a house gets divided, it just can't stand. And that's why he was after me, that's why he was after trying to destroy my mom and dad to get them to quit. Because I believe this. I actually believe this, that Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I also believe this, that the devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I believe the Bible when it says, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So I know there's lots of different things that go on in our lives. We've had things in our own lives, personal things that have went wrong, and you wonder why. I mean, for my mom and dad to have their son, my brother, die when he was 19. And that they were serving God and Christians. Life isn't always fair. But the one that is faithful is God. That's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank God that I knew and I grew up in a home that loved people. I seen my dad stand up at the funeral and say, "We have no animosity or anger against the person that killed my son." Because he wouldn't let it in his heart, because if you let it in your heart, it'll destroy you. And in my own family, and this is why I'm talking about this, because this is one of the things that are very, very, very important. And people take it, if you would listen to people, you wouldn't think they took it serious. And it's the words of our mouth. You know, we've heard sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's sort of not true. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words do hurt you a lot. My wife told me later, when I became a nicer guy, that she would have rather me beat her up than speak words that are degrading to her. The Bible says here, and I'm going to go here, and I'm talking about the family because I'm talking about my son. And I've told you this before, but I was thinking about this morning. And it's weird just how this whole service has went. Because John, Junior, and me, he's not here or I wouldn't talk like this. Never really got along well. Because he was my first boy. And I was looking for a man, at a boy. Well, I can't draw. I'm not artistic at all. I was a meathead, and I know that. An idiot. But John would read books all day. I'm looking at my son, I'm thinking, why would he want to read a stupid book? I wanted him to, he just was not, he was opposite of me, just like his mom. But I wanted him to be like me. And so John and I had our, I never said things mean to him. And well, the odd time I did, I guess. I said, why can't you just be normal? And I'm wondering what he's thinking, like, what is normal, Dad? You? Like, that ain't normal. And he was smart, and he liked school, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with this boy? And so I would say things to him, trying to help him. Have you ever said to people or your children, what is wrong with you? Are you stupid? And you're wanting them to wake up, but you're calling them stupid. And it, I never had anybody say to me, hey, you stupid moron. And me go, oh, yeah, that's right. I am a moron. How can I change? What do you want to do? You want to go, yeah? Wham! I'll show you what a moron is. And so we then, as people, we think we're trying to help people by telling them what their problem is. But what did God say? And I didn't learn this from the Bible, but I read it. It never sunk in. You know how things don't sink in? And so I always said to John, what is wrong with you? Like, don't you want to be normal? Like I wanted to play hockey when he was like little. Yeah, I don't want to play hockey. And I'm like, you don't want to play hockey? Like, what is wrong with you? And he wanted to read. And I'm like, oh. And you got to understand, I was sort of from the country and more from the countryside of the country. And I'm just telling on myself here, okay? I wasn't any artistic at all or anything like that. So I didn't understand him, and so I always said mean things to him that I didn't, and I was doing it trying to make him normal, not realizing God made him perfect. But because of that, John became resentful, and we never got along really that much, did we? And then God started to speak to me. And I want to read, I won't go all day. We're going to quit at noon. I want to read here, and I want to bring this up to you because the Bible says in Proverbs, I'm going to go to Proverbs and I'll find it. 16. And I just wanted to, I wanted to share this morning because this was in my heart. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. It says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. See, to write words are health. I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures, especially in Proverbs, that have to do with your words. And in Proverbs chapter 18, I think it says in verse, I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses because then you're not taking just one thing out of context. It says in verse 14, it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear? So a man that has a strong spirit Or a man, you know, that's why we always talk about living out of the spirit, man. You know, I'm not talking about that today. But see, if you live out of your feelings or what you feel like or what you want to do today or whatever it is, you're going to just live all over the place. But you got to live out of the spirit, because the Bible says the spirit of the man, or that's why you can't allow bitterness or unforgiveness or anger or anything in your heart, because what's inside will dictate your life. So the spirit of the man is what's going to sustain a man's infirmity. So when you get into hard times, what's inside of you is going to cause you either to quit, or it's going to cause you to carry on till you see the other side. You know, it's called character. But it comes from within you. It's the spirit of the man. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain or stop or keep him going through this infirmity or through the things that are on your life. That's how come that you can be in a world full of trouble and still be happy. People can say, how can you be happy? I don't know. I'm just always happy. Do you not have things wrong? Oh, I got things wrong a lot. That's one of the things that people say to me all the time. How come you smile all the time? How come you're always happy? You never have things go wrong. Well, I have a lot of stuff go wrong in my life, but I don't live from what happens in my life. I'm happy because everything went good today. Tomorrow I lose money, and so now everything's sad today. And then my wife cooks me spaghetti. Oh, I'm happy again. And then she cooks me broccoli, and now I'm sad again. Like, you can't, that's how most people live. It's just off their feeling, and if a good day, then everything's good, and if it's bad, everything's bad. But to find a man that's just the same all the time, you can't live out of the natural. You got to live out of the spirit, out of the supernatural. And that spirit, the spirit of that's been born again, and that man, if you live after the inside man, that'll cause you to be the same all the time. But you gotta choose to live after the inward man. And the Bible says if you'll do that, that man, that spirit will cause you to sustain or will keep you in the time of trouble, really, or in the time of infirmity. It'll keep you strong. That's why you gotta live after the inside, not out of the outside. Right? And so it says here, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. And as a high wall in his own conceit, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. So we're again, it's from the inside. And before honor is humility, right? Before destruction, what's it say? Before destruction, the heart of the man is haughty. Now, what would be haughty? The only people I've ever heard use haughty words would be English people, like from England, haughty and, you know, words like that. What would that be? It would mean you would be, what? Prideful? Speak up, anybody? Haughty. You just, stuck up, exactly. It's just not God's heart, right? And that, before, when you have that in your heart, you have destruction. And so the Bible says here, and before honor is what? What does the Bible say? A humble man, or a man of humility, will be what? Lifted up. Don't ever lift yourself up. Like, don't go bragging and telling how much you do and how much you do this and I'm so great. And I tell my kids all the time, because they are great, don't ever brag. Don't ever hear me tell you. They do. My kids have done this. And I have to tell them. See, the problem is, I did this, and I'm telling you, I've learned. I've learned from my children. I put some of the older kids, Kylie, John, and I changed with John. And I started to put life into the younger ones, and the older ones, I was just like every other person. The way you thought to train them was to tell them how rotten they were. And you know what? As long as I told them how rotten they were, do you know that they never changed? I came home one day and my son was not very energetic, John Jr., and you would not believe that today. I would ask John to do things. He wouldn't do it. I would ask John to pile the wood. John wouldn't do it. He made me so mad because he just was opposite of me. And one day, I asked John to pile some wood. And I came, and I was gone all day, because see, here I am. It's not his fault I have to work, but I work a lot because I'm a dad. I have a lot of kids, and I got responsibilities, and I got to go to work. So I work sometimes till like 11 o'clock at night. This week I worked till 11 o'clock at night for a few nights because I know this was a long weekend and we had a bunch of stuff. And I get up and I don't see my family, I don't see my kids, I don't see anybody because I leave before they get up and I come home when they're sleeping, my wife included. And is that not right? But I have responsibility. And so then I come home that night. This was how old was John Jr.? 13 or 14 years old. Now, I know I've said this before, but as I was driving down here, the Lord told me this. And he gave me a bunch of scriptures. I'm going to talk, because this whole thing is around this, where you can put life into your family, or you can put death into your family. Whether it looks like everything's going, or it's not going, you still need to speak life. The Bible says, he that answereth the matter, verse 13, 18 and 13 of Proverbs. He that answers the matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift will make room for him. That's what I always say to my kids. Don't worry. Don't ever brag yourself up. I'm telling you, don't ever let me hear you. And I've heard my kids brag themselves up. I've heard Isaac. And I talk to him all the way home, but I do it in a different way now. Because you don't want to tear kids down. You want them to be confident, but you don't want them to be prideful. I don't know how to do it all. But God does. And I've heard my other kids. I've heard Hope brag. I've heard, it's funny, the younger they get, the worse they get. No. I don't, Lord forgive me, that's not right. Where are we here? The heart of the prudent gets, and a man's gift, no, this is it. God's given every one of us gifts. Every one of us, every person in here has got a gift from God. And they're all different. That's why we can't be the same. And that's why I don't make people, everybody doesn't have the heart to give to baby bottles. Everybody doesn't have the heart for missions, but some love to give. Some love to lead pamphlets. Some love to cook meals and take it to people. Like everybody's got a gift. Some will send letters to encourage people. Some will phone people. Some will stand in the street corners. We're all different. And I'm not one of these guys that try to put us all in the same box. Because it doesn't work. Because you can't fit in a box the square when you're a triangle. I learned that when I was like 2 with a little box with the triangles and the squares and the rectangles. And I don't actually think I had that. We had that for our kids, but... So it says here, it says, a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. You don't have to do anything other than do what's in your heart to do. Because that gift, mark my words, the gift that God's given us, if you'll use that gift for God, God will bring that gift before greatness. Bottom line. People have asked me, how in the world, like just in, nobody would even know if they weren't in the Christian world, but in the Christian world, like Jerry Savelle, and some of the top people that impacted my life more than anybody else, Kenneth E. Hagin, and these kind of people, I got to know them. I got to be friends with them. I got to be on, they've asked me, out of all the people in Canada, I was one of two people that were asked to be on a director for Jerry Savelle Ministry out of Texas. And I mean, this guy like loves people. This guy is just like me, but better. And what I mean by this, my heart is to give. I went in, the very first time I went on a motorcycle ride with him. We went motorcycling, and we went into this restaurant. There had to be 60 people there. And this was like, 14 years ago. And we went into this steakhouse or whatever it was. And when I went up to pay, they just said, no, it's been paid for. Jerry Savelle, the preacher. See, most preachers are beggars, right? They're wanting everybody to give to them. Well, here's a guy that just paid for 60, he cost him like $3,000. And he just paid for everybody's lunch. And I thought, that's weird. That's different. That's not normal. And I just thought, wow, this guy's different. He's like my dad. My dad gave 3 houses away. My dad gave hundreds of cars. But I didn't see most churches and people like that. Like, I mean, I've even went to churches where they tell me, don't let people talk to you. Don't, you know, you're the, oh, you're, I said, I ain't any better than them people. Like, what do you think I'm here preaching? Just so I can have a name? John Trotter, the evangelist? No, my name is John Trotter. And I'm here to help people. I remember I left the back room of one church when I was preaching. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, here I just shared my testimony about how I was on drugs and I was an alcoholic and I had prostitutes and I just had, my life was ruined. And then God saved me and changed my life and made me happy, give me a purpose, give me a peace. And here's like 40 moms down there with their kids on drugs, and they want me to pray for their kids. And the minister says, forget about it. Let's go in the back room. I said to the guy, you got to be joking me. A minister. I said, I didn't come here for you to hang out with you. I came so I could tell these and give hope to these moms. And I went back out, and all these moms I prayed with. He thought I was crazy. Because it ain't him. I don't care. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be, look how big John's ministry is. It ain't about that. It's about how big God is. That's right. That's right. Amen. See, it's not about me. Your gift will bring you before great men. So I just kept honoring God and honoring God. All of a sudden, Jerry Savelle says, will you be a board of director for me? Another one of the guys that's a multimillionaire in Canada, he's phoned me up one day and he says to me, would you be a director for me? Here's a, you know, when people come here, we give them $1,000 or $800. He gives them $100,000. This guy's different. This guy, I want to preach in his church. He never asked me to preach. Yeah, I preached there lots. But I'm a director. Would you, people, I've had like lawyers and ministers and high rollers, big people, right? I'm a little guy from Apsley. They'll say, how did you get in with them guys? I don't know. I'm not sure. Do you remember Jerry Savelle's best or brother-in-law that runs his Canadian office came to me, and if you think you're trying to kiss people's butts, and I don't, he came to me and he said, would you pray that God would give us favor? Do you remember what I said to him? I said, why in the world would I pray? And he looked at me. This is like the head guy for Canada. I said, why in the world would I pray? Because he asked me to pray for favor because they were trying to get the government license for Canada. And I just said to him, do you not have a wife? And he just looked at me. And I said, well, do you not have a wife? He said, yeah. I said, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds favor, a good thing, and finds favor of the Lord. I said, you already got favor, buddy. You'll get it. Don't worry about it. And he just thought, this guy's like, he did look at me like, you're joking me. I'm like the biggest guy here in Canada, and you're talking to me like that? You won't even say a little prayer for me? And you know what? They got the license. The next week they phoned me and said, would you be the main director for Canada? God's gift that he give everybody, will, if you'll just follow the gift, whether it's a gift of love, of giving, of compassion, it doesn't matter. Every one of us has got it. Every one of us. That gift will bring you that gift. Because if you honor God, the gift that God gives you, because he wants that gift to be broadened. Because see, it's not about you. It's about him. Right? So when you honor that gift glorifies God. It doesn't glorify you. Because without him, you're just a man. A broken dust. Jesus said here in 17. Well, it wasn't Jesus. He wasn't around then. Sorry. This was one of the prophets. It said, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causes contention to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a whole city or a strong city. That's why I really work at not trying to offend people when it comes to God, for real. And then it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So with the increase of your lips, you're going to be filled. Then it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it are going to eat the fruit thereof. I will stop there. The next scripture says, we don't need to read that one. I'll read it. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. So your wife's a good thing, right? Amen. Whether you like it or not, it's a good thing. Because God says it's a good thing. I'm joking. I love my wife. And she looks prettier every day. The girls do her hair now. Give her their makeup. It's wonderful. So I'm going to say this. I'll stop right there. Let's go home. No. No. Sorry. I want to tell you about John now. I got where in James, I got Proverbs, I got Lefford scriptures where the Bible says your mouth, your words will change a whole ship. A rudder. Your words are like a rudder. You get a ship 200 feet long, and there's a little rudder this big, this deep, that will steer and change the course of that whole ship. Right? The Bible talks about a rudder in James, like the words of your mouth. So I just told you that I told John, and I know I've told this story before, but it was in my heart today because the enemy's out to destroy families. And sometimes he's using us to help. Everything that's good and lovely and just and good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Good, lovely, just, of good report, virtue. So I come home that night after leaving at 5:30 in the morning, working. And that's when we didn't make a lot of money. So it wasn't even enjoyable working because there was really nothing at the end of it other than like $15 an hour. But I was still doing what I could as a dad to look after my kids. And I came home and I drove in the driveway. And I looked over to the wood stove and I asked him two things. Would you fill the wood stove? And would you pile the wood? Because I split wood the night before so we'd have firewood. And John was 13 or 14 at the time. And the wood stove was out, and the wood wasn't piled. And I went ballistic in my mind. Because I wasn't around any people, so I couldn't talk yet. I am like, oh, I'm going to go in there and grab that kid and just beat him. I'm just telling you the way I was thinking, okay? Because that's the way I did this right from 0 to 13. And the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, spoke to me. And he said to me, because see, had anything changed in 13 years with John Jr.? He wasn't anything that I, like, he didn't listen. He talked back, not to me, but to his mom. He was afraid of me. But he didn't want to be around me. We didn't hang out. We weren't friends. And I wouldn't even tell you this if I didn't want it to help somebody, because I'm embarrassed about this. But God spoke to me as I drove in that driveway, and he said to me, and it's 12 o'clock and up to 2 minutes, and God said to me, you need to tell your son what you want him to be, not what he is. Because if you keep doing the same thing, he'll be the same his whole life. And I'm like, that's not even fair. How can I tell him that he's a great son when he doesn't listen to me? And God said, do you not tell him what he is. Tell him what you want him to be. And that was one of the hardest things in my life to do. Because first, he was not like me, so it was hard. We were opposite. And I was, this is all going on, nobody in the world. This is all going on in my mind, my heart, I'm driving in the driveway, I see it not rain. I'm just as mad as a hat. I can't wait to get inside, get a hold of that boy, and say, what are you, piece of junk? You lazy, rotten thing? What is wrong with you? And God says, tell him what you want him to be, not what he is. I went inside. It was everything, because I know this, God's right. It's not, I don't always do what's right, but God's right. I went inside, and I found John, and I said, John, I just want to tell you I love you, and I thank God that you're a wonderful boy. You're a great kid. But I left. I didn't know what else to say, because I didn't want to say anything bad. And I started to do that with every one of my children. My son, now I'm telling you, my son John Jr. for 13 years was everything that I didn't want him to be. And within months of me telling him what I wanted him, telling him he was what I wanted him to be, not what he was. My son changed within a month, did he not? And my son has become everything and beyond of anything that I could imagine. And not only him, Caleb and Joshua and Kylie and Rebecca and Grace and Charity and Rihanna. And Gabriel, and you know the rest. I look in awe at my sons and my daughters, and I seen how insecure Kylie was because of me, and how withdrawn my son was because of me. And I didn't even know in my own mind I was trying to help them by telling them what they were, which was a truth. But it was backwards to what God does. He now, John is my friend. My boys are my friends. John comes to hockey games with me and we just talk about hockey for 3 hours on. I'll end. Your words are life and they're death. And you can speak life into your kids, or you can speak death into your kids. Father, I thank you, Father, I've got so far to go and so much to learn. But I am so thankful for what you've taught me about our words. And Father, I haven't done everything right. But Lord, help us. Keep us in check to speak words that are life, not death. To our husbands and our wives and our children and the people around us, it's easy to be negative. But it takes work to be positive. And I'm not talking about positive speaking and mental. I'm talking about the Word of God says life and death are in the power of our tongue. My words were turning John into everything I didn't want him to be, just like a rudder does on a ship. But my words that were full of life changed his course in everything that I want. Lord, I don't even understand it, but it worked. Father, help us. Help us guard our heart and our mouth. Father, I thank you for everybody taking the time today to be here. I ask you to bless them on this long weekend. Bless their families and their lives. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the giver, Father. Father, we ask you to open the windows of heaven upon the Pregnancy Care Center, Father, that they can continue to do everything they do for the local girls that get pregnant. And Father, we just thank you. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming today.